and he kicked him in the knee and chopped at the side of his bull neck. Monk dropped Harry and turned on her, but she ducked under his wild swing and deftly rammed a fist into his chest. A smaller man would have gone down, but Delaney just grunted and reached for her. Through a world of pain, Harry saw the colonel jabbing at Monk's eyes. Staggering to his feet, he punched with all his might at Monk's side. Kidney punch, strictly illegal in boxing, but the best defense Harry knew when being beaten up by a bigger guy. Monk yowled and twisted backward. Colonel Christopher chopped with the side of her hand at Delaney's throat, and the big man went down, gasping and floundering on the deck of the narrow compartment. As Harry sank to his knees, he saw another Air Force officer stepping through the hatch, the red-headed captain. No need, he thought. No need for reinforcements. He saw Colonel Christopher standing over Monk's prostrate body like an Amazon warrior, her eyes blazing, every line of her face and body daring Monk to try to get up again. Georgetown, D.C. The Scheib Residence. It was a three-story row house on O Street, narrow but deep. Like all the houses on that block, it had a flight of concrete steps leading up to the front door, a basement garage, and a lushly flowering garden in back, tended by a small army of brown-skinned immigrant workers. Its exterior differed from its neighbors only by the startling abstract mural that the lady of the house had lovingly painted, to the clucking disapproval of some of her neighbors. Bradley Scheib's den was on the top floor, insulated from the guest bedroom suite by soundproofed walls. General Scheib was sitting in his oversized recliner chair, a tumbler of single malt scotch, neat, on the walnut table beside him, his private telephone held to his ear. The phone's landline tapped directly into the Department of Defense's shielded line that ran beneath the District of Columbia's streets, connecting the White House and the Capitol building with the Pentagon across the Potomac. The only light in the room came from the computer screen on the desk over in the corner. Brad Scheib sat in the shadows, bone-tired, emotionally spent, feeling ragged. He had torn off his uniform the moment he'd arrived home from the Pentagon and put on a comfortable old sweatshirt and baggy gym pants. He'd nodded hello to his wife and bounded up the stairs to his sanctum sanctorum. "I gave you the priority code," he growled into the phone. "What more authorization do you need?"
"Sorry, sir," came the voice of the harried operator in the Pentagon. "Circuits have been overloaded all day."
"I don't care. Get me through to that plane. That's an order."
"Yes, sir. I'm trying, sir."
The door swung open, spilling light from the hallway into the darkened room. Scheib's wife stood framed in the doorway, wearing a floor-length flowered silk robe. Lean, well-curved, a tribute to relentless exercise and cosmetic surgery. Angrily, he said, "Do I have to put a lock on my door? You know this is private territory. You can't—"
"I'm not going to steal any military secrets from you, Brad," answered Carlotta Harriman Scheib coolly. "I'm quite sure your call is personal, isn't it?"
Cupping one hand over the phone's receiver, Scheib said, "Whatever it is, it's none of your business."
"Calling your little slut of a colonel?" Carla asked, smiling coldly. "Do you make her stand at attention for you?"
"No, I imagine it's you who stands at attention when you're with her, isn't it?" "You've done enough damage to her career," Scheib snapped, nearly snarling.
"So what? There are plenty of other women panting after you. I could set you up with a couple of the dewy-eyed twits you met at my birthday party. They'd love to flop into bed with you."
"Carla, this is Air